Amen. Let's, while we're standing, let's give King Jesus a hand clap. Amen. A praise, a shout of praise. Amen. How many realize that we didn't come to see a man, but we came to see Jesus. Amen. But Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Amen. He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. Praise God. Without him, I can't do anything. Without him, I can't do anything. But I thank God that in him, I'm complete. Amen. Jesus, the hope of glory. Amen. Jesus, I don't care what your problem is. Guess what, Chris? The answer is Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I might not be a mathematician. I may not be Einstein. But guess what? I know the answer. The answer is Jesus. That makes me brilliant. Amen. Praise God. I'm brilliant. I don't care whether I've been to high school or not. Amen. I might not have been to, what grade are you in, young man?
Kindergarten.
Okay, see, I might not have been to kindergarten, but guess what? When I know the answer is Jesus, I'm smarter than a kindergarten. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. That's a blessing. Amen. You know Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Every one of us are smart. You know, but I tell you what, I thank God. You may be seated. Praise God. You may be seated. But I thank God that it's in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Amen. Praise God. You know, when Jesus shows up, guess what? All problems are solved. Amen. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And I just thank God for, these, these small children. Cause you know, that's what the church is like. That's what the church is like. Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come unto me. That the children wanted to come and touch Jesus, and the disciples say, leave him alone, leave him alone. No, go away. Jesus said, no, you got it wrong. He said, come, suffer the children come unto me. He said, because such is the kingdom of God. Have you ever noticed that when we first got saved, we were new money. We like new money. Oh, we just love Jesus, and we wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Everybody that we found this pot of gold. Amen. We might not have been Irish, but we found the pot of gold. Amen. And the pot of gold was Jesus. Amen. Everything that we needed was in Jesus. And we were so in love with Jesus, with our first love, that we wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. They would see us coming, and they would start running another way. Oh no, here Beverly, Sister Beverly comes, trying to tell me about Jesus, and they were running high from her. But she didn't care. She found new life. She found new life. She was born again. Praise God. The King of Kings coming in her life through avenue of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so she was excited about her salvation. Well, guess what? Every time the preacher told her something, preached from the pulpit, guess what? She believed it. She believed it. She believed it. She was like a little child. She had a clean slate. And the word of God was written on it. That's how it is. These children, they know grandma. And when grandma tell them something, they know they can take it to the bank and demand full payment. Amen. Because that's grandma. Amen. If grandma told me she was going to do this, I'm going to get it. And I'll fight anybody that tell me that ain't going to happen. That's grandma. Praise God. But that's how a little child is. A little child, when you tell them something, they'll believe it. Even if it may not be reality, they'll believe it. You're going to be Superman. I am. And then they get a towel and put it around their neck and fly through the house like they Superman. Yeah, they believe it. They believe anything you tell them. Yeah, you're going to be the Spider-Man. They want you to get a Spider-Man costume, and they be Spider-Man. They'll believe anything. Nothing with their imagination. Nothing's impossible. Yes, sir?
Grandma was supposed to bring me a Spider-Man costume.
Okay. Oh, she will. She will. No, Grandma's going to get it to you. Praise God. But you know, Grandma, you can always count on Grandma, can't you? You always count on. You know what? Yeah, she probably did, but she remembers now. Yeah. Praise, she got it now. But you know what? I thank God. Yeah, oh, go ahead. See that? Look, out of the mouth of babes. Now, I don't need Dita to be my bodyguard. I got Jesus. Now, God
will protect us.
Oh, all right. Come on now. Come on, somebody. Praise God. I can just quit preaching and do the benediction now. Praise, we heard from God. Amen. Praise God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I did learn from Mom that Jesus can control everything.
Oh, praise God. What? Oh, you know what? You know, by faith we see him, don't we? Faith we see him. And you know what? Jesus loved you so much, guess what? He can appear to you in dreams and visions and talk to you. Even though he's sitting on the right hand of the Father right now. But guess what? When you see Jesus, when you can see Jesus, you know, and it's good that a lot of us have never seen Jesus. But guess what? We believe in him because you know why we believe in him? Because he lives on the inside of us. Sister Bella, I need to turn the microphone on to these baby preachers here. Praise God. They know the word and they know who they believe in. Praise God. That's awesome. But see, I remember when I was young like that, I had that kind of faith. But what happens to us? As we get saved a couple of years and we think we know a couple of scriptures, and then we get deep. Then we need the Pope, the Bishop, and a baby to explain scripture to. Well, praise God. Let's return to our first love, amen. Let's return to our first love. You know what? God designed the system that we win. Jesus said that he's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Oh, I want to thank God also for my grandson, Curtis. He'll be with us for the summer. Praise God. And I also like to thank God for my in-laws, for Mr. Anderson McNair, my father-in-law, and my mother-in-law, Lucille McNair. And I think she's got to be one of the best cooks in Georgia. Praise God. You know, if it's a contest and somebody say, who's the best cook in Georgia? I can testify that she is. And I never go to her house unannounced. I let her know. It's 70 miles from Jacksonville to Brunswick. Guess what? I'll call her before I get there. Because guess what? I don't want no mix-up. Because even if she ain't got nothing, she always got food in the icebox and stuff. She could warm up stuff. But guess what? When I'm coming, she's going to cook some fresh food. Some of my favorite dishes, amen. Praise God. She loves me like the son she never had. You know, Cecilia was the only child. Only child. And I think her dad even called her George sometimes. But affectionately a George. But guess what? I'm the son that they never had. My father-in-law gave me a hard time. Miss McNair, I love you. Gave me a hard time. But guess what? When I asked him, can I have his daughter's hand in marriage? We've been friends ever since. I've been the best, you know, he's been my second father when you think about it. Do anything for me. But I thank God for them being here and through Avenue of the Technology, and it's through the freeconferencecall.com. So you can dial in. Even if you can't come to service, you can dial in and listen. Also, thank God for the faithfulness of my dad's caregiver, Sister Curry. And she's just been a blessing. She's just been a blessing to our family. She loves Jesus. She loves the Lord. And she's faithful to my father. And praise God. And so I just thank God for her. And then also thank God for my twin sister, Maria. Most of you have met her. She's probably listened, but through the way of freeconferencecall.com, Maria. And Maria Hicks, she's my twin sister. Now, she's older than me, but I always mess with her every time she comes. Hey, little sister. You know, I know it's going to get something out of her. So she's, I just love to tease her. But anyway, she know I love her. Yes, sir? Can you pray? Yeah, look, we can't get too much prayer. Let's pray. Let's pray. Go ahead.
Lord God, we thank you for our earth. We thank you for life. We thank you for houses. We thank you for ourselves. We thank you for food. We thank you for food. We thank you for energy. We thank you for our school. We thank you for summer. We thank you for the seasons. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Get the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Praise God. Out of the mouth of babes. Amen. Praise God. How many times that we're unthankful a lot of times. We just take for granted the blessings of God. Amen. But it's such a blessing that he wanted to take time to thank God for what he did. So let's give him a hand clap. Amen. I want to be like him. Amen. I want to stay like that. I want to stay like that with a heart for God. Amen. Praise God. But today we're going to talk about our secret weapon. Now, we talked about this before. It's a secret weapon. Now, I'm in the military, right? I'm in the military. And I'm in the military. I was in the military 20-something years, right? And guess what? We always had a secret weapon against our enemy. Well, the reason it was a secret weapon, because the enemy didn't know what it was. But we're going to talk about our secret weapon from God today. You know what man will do? You know what man will do? You know what man will do? Man will tell you to do something. Know you ain't got the resources to do it. And then get mad when it don't get done. But see, God's not like that. God's not like us, praise God. God is a good God, amen? If he told us that we could do it, if he spoke it, Chris, guess what? He's able to make it come to pass, amen? God is not a man that he can lie. So we're going to talk about our secret weapon. Now, the reason it's secret, because the enemy doesn't know what it is. But truth be told, guess what? Truth be told, a lot of quote-unquote Christians today don't even know what the secret weapon is. You know why they don't know what the secret weapon is? Because a lot of people told them that the secret weapon died when the apostles died. When the first century church died, they say the secret weapon died. But the secret weapon is alive and well. It lives in the inside of us. Amen? Now, we're going to talk about that secret weapon. Let's go to Acts, the second chapter. We're going to talk about that secret weapon. Acts, the second chapter. And what we're going to be talking about today, our secret weapon, the enemy does not want us to know that this secret weapon is available. You know why he doesn't want us to know that this secret weapon is available? Because what happened, if we use it, we'll have power. We'll have power. So Acts, the second chapter. And this is when our secret weapon came. Now, if you remember, while we're turning to it, if you remember this, Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. He talked about this in John, the 14th chapter, the 15th chapter, and the 16th chapter. Jesus talked about this. He says, it's expedient that I go away. Because I don't go away, the comforter won't come. So Jesus was talking about that. Can I paraphrase it? He said, boys, look, I got to go away. Because if I don't go away, I know you're going to miss me. But then the secret weapon won't come. So the secret weapon he talked about was the Holy Spirit. Was the Holy Spirit. That's our secret weapon, the Holy Spirit. Our secret weapon is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said that the Holy Spirit won't come unless I go. Joel talked about it in Joel 2 and 28. We're going to turn to that later, but we're going to go to Acts first. But Joel talked about that secret weapon. Okay, now, what happened is in the second chapter, it says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a gushing wind, a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Like, can you see, Chris? Oh, you got your real Bible. Okay, praise God. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and they set upon each of them. So in other words, when the day of Pentecost had come, there was 120 in the upper room, in one accord. That was a miracle in itself. In one accord, like-minded, waiting on the promise of the Father. It's hard to get two Christians together and be in one accord. But they had 120 waiting for the promise of the Father in one accord. That was a miracle by itself. But the miracle happened when they appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it set upon each of them. So in other words, the Holy Spirit set on them, the Holy Ghost. Can I say Holy Ghost? Or Some people, I got to say Holy Spirit. Yeah. But hey, praise God. But the old preachers, they say Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. So the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Fell upon them like cloven tongues. Like fire. You know what John the Baptist said? He said, there's one. He said, I indeed baptize you with water. But there's one I'm not even worthy to even touch his shoelaces. But guess what? He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You know what? A lot of us got the Holy Ghost 100 years ago. Oh, I mean, 30 years ago, 20 years. But guess what? Where's the fire? The fire didn't die out. Amen. So I want the Holy Ghost with fire. Amen. Holy Ghost with fire. Lord, baptize me anew every day. Baptize me every day with that Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. I want to be fire. Praise God. When people see me, I want to see them watch me burn. Come watch me burn. Praise God. Because I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm not full of the world contaminated. I'm tired of the devil manifesting everywhere. On TV, showing his ugly head and everything. It's time for the sons of God, the daughter of God to manifest. Amen. Let us manifest. Amen. Let us change the atmosphere. Amen. And that can't happen except we got our secret weapon. Amen. It's a secret weapon to a lot of Christians because some churches teach that it died with the apostles. Praise God. Let me ask you this. If there were devils when Jesus was on the planet Earth, what happened to them devils? Did they just die and go to hell because Jesus died? No. There's devils right here. I can prove it's devils. Watch the 6 o'clock news and see all that foolishness that happened. That's not a God. That's not a God. That's somebody motivated by that daddy the devil, and they go do those foolish things. So it's apparent that that there's enemies right here, you know, living here on planet Earth. But guess what? Who's supposed to take care of the enemies? We are. When we're equipped with the Holy Ghost and with power. Amen? So that's our secret weapon. Now, and then it said, next verse, D, if you don't mind. Acts, the second chapter, the fourth verse. And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. No. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So guess what? On the day of Pentecost, the promise of the Father appeared to them. And that would they be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, did you know something? While Jesus was here on planet Earth, his disciples, he deputized 12 of them. And he told them to go and heal the sick. And they healed the sick. They did all that stuff, right? But guess what? They hadn't been baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. Jesus told them, he said, look, go into Jerusalem and wait till you men do it with power. So on the day of Pentecost, that's when the power came. Amen. That's when the power came. Now, how did they know? How did people know that they were baptized in the Holy Ghost? How did people know that they were baptized in the Holy Ghost? Because they seen that they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now guess what? When you speak in your prayer language, you're the one that does the speaking. You're the one that does the speaking. Now, in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians in 12, 13, and 14 chapter, it tells about, first of all, it talks about love. Sandwiched in that love chapter, and then it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and then it talks, the 14th chapter talks about there was some abuses in the church concerning spiritual gifts. But guess what? They're for today. Apostle Paul say, I speak with tongues more than all of you. But guess what? When we pray, now we're not talking about when you're in a church service and somebody prophesies or speaks in tongues and prophesies, then it says that then if somebody speaks in tongues, then somebody should interpret. Because if there's no interpretation, the body of Christ is not edified, right? So we're not talking about that in the church service. We're talking about in your private prayer life. Every believer that knows is available can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every believer can. It's available for every believer. And guess what? He's not some spooky thing that comes upon you and you can't stop it. No, you control it. You control it. You control it. The Spirit of God is a gentleman. When Sister Beverly, when I called Sister Beverly, well, when Sister Hicks called Sister Beverly up and say her aunt died, and then so Beverly instantly says, well, let me pray, because I know she's going to have her funeral on Saturday. Let me pray for you, Sister Hicks. And guess what? That's Hicks. She said, let me pray for you. Well, sometimes Beverly says, well, I don't even know how I ought to pray. But guess what? Beverly can instantaneously pray in the Spirit. And she'll pray the perfect will for the family that's left behind. She'll pray. And so, and guess what? I'm going to prove it. Every one of us can speak in tongues, but we got to receive our prayer language. But a lot of times we don't get it because we know it's not available. It's not available. It's not taught in churches. Most churches. Most churches are powerless. Most churches are nothing more than a social club. But the Rotary Club got more power than most churches. The Kiwanis Club got more power than most churches. They just come together and have me blessing time and fellowship time. But when a devil or something comes out of the ordinary, nobody knows what to do because they ain't got no power. But every believer, a baby believer, has power. A baby believer has power. It's not junior Holy Ghost and then mature Holy Ghost. No, it's the same Holy Ghost. Amen. So a baby got power. Amen. But you know what? It's not taught. So a lot of people don't know. They're weak and anemic. The church is weak and anemic. Jesus said, "I'm not coming back for a weak church. I'm coming for a glorified church, a church with power, and know who they are in Christ." Amen. Praise God. So, it said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, in other words, when you open your mouth and you throw your hands up to God, guess what? You're speaking a prayer language that's different than your natural English. And then you just let utterance, you give utterance to it. The more you speak, the more fluent you get. Now guess what? Bible says be being filled in Ephesians. Be being filled. So we got to be filled every day. Amen. Every day we need to pray in tongues. Sometimes I'm at work and I'm up under my breath and I'm praying in tongues. Now when I'm doing inventory, it's me and God. Nobody knows I'm doing, but I'm praying under my breath under tongues. And me and the Holy Ghost have a picnic, have a party. Amen. Praying in tongues. Praise God. Praying in tongues. And it gets so good. I get energized. Praise God. Praise God. I feel the glory of God. Amen. Because you know what? If you store up the gift that's in you, you're gonna know it. You're going to know it. You start glorifying God, start praising God. Praise God. So it's a weapon. It's a secret weapon. It's a secret weapon. It's a secret weapon because most people in the church don't even know it's for today. It's a secret weapon. But it's our secret weapon. Now, if you have an affected secret weapon, do you know your enemy does not want you to use it? The enemy will try to tell you, oh, the secret weapon died with the apostles. It's not for today. Yeah. So guess what? I was in the army, and I was in crypto. Now, this is one benefit of having a secret weapon. Secret weapon, if it's a secret weapon, it ought to be able to do some good against the enemy's camp, right? I was a crypto guy. That was my MOS. That was my job. You know what crypto means? Crypto means that you encrypt something. Let's say, for instance, I got my cell phone here. Okay, anybody over the airways can intercept my communication because it's over the airways. But if I could put a little chip in here that encrypts it, the only person that can hear it is the person on the other side that have the same encryption device, and then they decrypt it. So it's encrypted. So I don't care if it goes over the airways. Bible says the prince of the power of the air, he's the God of this world. But guess what? When I speak in plain English to the devil, devil knows everything that I'm saying. Guess what? So so his imps or somebody, he can fight against it. But when I click the channel and go into my cryptic language, praise God, I'm speaking mysteries unto God. He don't know what I'm saying, praise God. He don't know. So it's a secret weapon. It's a secret weapon, amen. So the enemy don't want me to have my secret weapon because he's out of the loop. I'm speaking mysteries unto God. The devil don't know what I'm saying. I'm speaking in my secret weapon. I'm speaking mysteries unto God. That's available for every believer. Every believer. Every believer, not just special ones. Are you baptized in Christ? Do you know Jesus? Amen? Are you saved? Well, guess what? You're a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. It's like new money, honey. It's like new money. Praise God. Before, I was riding around with a moped, but praise God, I'm riding around with the best series Mercedes that they got in the showroom. Praise God. That's what baptism in the Holy Spirit will do. It's like new money. Praise God. I used to drive my Volkswagen to work. But guess what? I drive with a Learjet. Now, I can get to work in a nanosecond. Praise God. That's what your secret weapon will do for you. It'll energize you on the inside, amen? It'll energize you on the inside. Praise God. So we're talking about our secret weapon. See, that's one benefit of using our secret weapon, because the devil does not know what we're saying, and we speak mysteries unto God. We speak encrypted language to our Heavenly Father, amen? Praise God. So that's for that benefit alone, I want my secret weapon. Praise God. So every believer, it's available for every believer, this secret weapon that we're talking about. Amen? Now, just to show you that this is not something spooky or something that we don't have control over, guess what? Now, Bishop D, he's going to pray in his prayer language. Bishop D, go ahead. Okay, thank you. Now, what happened is, that's available for every believer. Every believer. But guess what? Bible says we don't even know how to pray as we ought to. Let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans, D. Romans. Bible says we don't even know how to pray as we ought to. In our little feeble minds, we think we know what's happening, right? And we'll miss God's plan for us. God's plan for others. Amen. We'll read this verse. They think that, a lot of people can quote it. Let's go to Romans 8 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Infirmities are weaknesses, right? How many realize a lot of times we try to do things in our best effort, but we're weak to do it? Except for the grace of God, it'll never happen. So it says the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weakness, for we know not what we should pray for. And this is what the Bible said. We know not what you should pray for. Now, Beverly was praying for me, and she thought I needed a pair of tennis shoes. So she prayed, God, bless Pastor Hicks with a pair of tennis shoes in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's in her heart. She really believes that I need a pair of tennis shoes. But guess what? God says, no, I want them to have some brown shoes. So I need some brown shoes. So, but guess what? When she pray in a prayer language, then she's going to pray the perfect will of God. I've been believing God for some brown shoes, but guess what? When she get praying a prayer language for Pastor Hicks, guess what? That's when the brown shoes show up. Because she prayed the perfect will of God. She didn't know I didn't need tennis shoes, but I needed some brown shoes. And I've been believing God for some brown shoes. But because she prayed, it manifested in the natural world. It happens in the spirit first, and then it happens in the natural world first. Amen? So everything that we get from God, it happens in the spirit world first, doesn't it? It manifests in the spirit world. And then we cause it to come down by speaking the words of God, and it manifests in the natural world. It doesn't take faith to get anything from God, and God says without faith it's impossible to please God, doesn't it? But it didn't take any faith to believe something that you see. Guess what? If I said, D, I want you to have this Bible, man, and I give it to you, and then you got the Bible, then it don't take any faith because I gave it to him. That's his Bible. I gave it to him. Now this is just for illustration. but let's say Deedon wants a Bible. He's tired of his iPhone. He want to go back into the old way. He want to get him a King Jimmy Bible. Amen. A big one that he can total around. Praise God. So he's believing God for a Bible. He ain't got the Bible now. All he got is an iPhone, you know. But praise God. He wants the Bible like Pastor Hicks. Amen. A big old King Jimmy, a 15 pound Bible. He want a 10 pound Bible. Praise God. A real Bible. They can read the words and look at it and write in it and put the yellow markers in it. Amen. And when God give him a rhema word, he'll write it down the day it was told and what the meaning was. Praise God. He want that kind of Bible. Amen. He ain't got the Bible. He does not have the Bible. But he's believing God for the Bible. So that takes faith. He's calling those things that be not as though they were. God, send me a Bible. A King James Bible. See, you got to be specific when you talk to God. Because guess what? You got to be specific in what you want from God. Because God deals in facts and details. So you got to be specific what you want from God. There's a guy by the name of Paul E. Cho, one of the biggest churches in Korea. One of his members came and said, I'm getting up in age and I don't have a husband and I really want a husband. So you know what the pastor, Paul E. Cho did? He came up to her, said, come on here, and they joined hands. And he said, Lord, send my sister a short, bald, snaggle tooth, ugly, toothless husband in Jesus' name. And she pulled her hands away. No, pastor, I don't want a husband like that. And he said, okay, well, daughter, well, you got to be specific. Go get your piece of paper and write down what you want from the Lord. And you know what she wrote wrote it down in the Lord? And then later on, about 3 years later, somebody told him, well, Sister So-and-so got married. And he said he did. And then guess what? When she got married, she went back to that list. And that her husband fit the perfect detail of what she wanted from God. In fact, her husband that she wanted couldn't come from Korea. So it had to be a traveling minister came to Korea. And that's who brought some people with him in his team. And she married one of those guys in his team. So she was specific of what she wanted. And so she got that same husband. So we got to be specific, right? Okay, now let's talk about D's believing God for a Bible, right? But guess what? He prays in faith. What does Hebrews 11:1 say? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. Faith is now. Faith is now. I don't care if you ain't got it now. Faith is now. Say this. Faith is now. Faith is now. My daddy is a good God. He cannot speak a lie. So right now, I have it now. Faith. It's going to materialize because I speak it into existence. Amen? I'm like my daddy. He wandered the world and he spoke it into existence. Hebrews 11:3. The world was framed by the word of God. So guess what? Now faith. D, you don't have that Bible. But D say, look, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. And I believe God. Amen. I ask God for a Bible, a King James Bible, that I can mark it up and highlight it and do everything. I can't do that to my smartphone, you know. But I want something like that I can keep. And so, by faith, guess what? Sister Beverly comes to church and says, I don't know why, but I felt in my press of my spirit to give you this Bible, D. And guess what? See? He got his Bible. He was claiming it before it even happened. Amen? And that's how we got to be. Praise God. So anyway, Romans 8. And we won't finish this today, but we're going to go ahead and just open it up and get you. You know what? Right now, I've been to Korea. And I love kimchi. How many knows what kimchi is? Or heard of what kimchi is? Anybody heard about what kimchi is? It's Korean cabbage. It's fermented. It has fish oil in it. It has don't get it? Oh, okay. Okay, well, okay, where is that? Anyway, it's good, but I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I acquired a taste for it. I acquired a taste for it. When you find out that what you got in God, you'll be so happy for it that you acquire a taste for it. Nothing else can satisfy. Now, Coca-Cola's sold that slogan. It's the real thing. No, Jesus is the real thing. Nothing else can satisfy. You get hooked up with Jesus, nothing else can satisfy. Amen? I don't care what's going on TV today. That don't satisfy me. I'm going to turn the TV off and I'm going to get in fellowship with King Jesus. Amen? I'm going to see what he got to say. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to let him love on me and I'm going to love on him. Amen? Praise God. Turn that TV off. I want to get in contact with Jesus. I want to get in contact with heaven. Amen? Praise God. So that's what satisfies. All of that other stuff, it's just a facade. It's not real. It's not real. That's entertainment. But that ain't real life. Real life is connecting up with Jesus. Amen? Praise God. And then going what he asks you to do. Okay. Likewise, it also helps our weaknesses. For we don't know. For we don't know how we should pray. Now, Romans 8 and 26. Let's go back to that, D. Okay. But the Spirit itself makes an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, when Beverly's praying in her prayer language for me, because she thought I needed some tennis shoes, but guess what? The Spirit of God on the inside of us start change that prayer, and it'll pray for those brown shoes that I needed, that I would believe in God for. So she prays the perfect will of God for me. Amen? She prays the perfect will of God for me. And see, isn't that a powerful weapon? Isn't that a powerful weapon? You know what? You can always defeat your enemy if you can hit the mark. You know, when you got your people go to the gun range and they see the target, and they always want to hit the mark. They always want to hit the bullseye, don't they? Well, guess what? You always hit the bullseye when you pray in your prayer. And it's a secret weapon available for every believer. 27 verse D. For he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now the 28th verse, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are called, they're called according to his purpose. So a lot of times the church has subjugated those verses to say that it's talking about God loves us, and that this is God. But really, it's actually talking about prayer and then our prayer language, isn't it? The Spirit knows. The Spirit knows. Amen? The Spirit of God knows everything. Amen? Now, this was a promise. Now, guess what? The devil doesn't care if you go to church 8 days a week. Oh, is that possible? Oh, okay, 7 days a week. Okay. As long as you're not making any impact on his kingdom. But he does not want you to be imbued with that power. Now, let's go to another benefit. Remember we said one of the benefits of praying in tongues, praying in our prayer language, is that we speak mysteries unto God. Amen? And when we pray, we hit the mark. That's a benefit, right? Wouldn't you want your prayers to become a reality? Every time you pray, you open up your mouth, God honors your prayer. Well, when you pray in tongues, that's what happens. You're praying the perfect will for God, or for that person in your life. So that's a benefit of it. Now let's go to 3 John. 3 verse. That's in the New Testament toward the back. Yeah, 3 John. And I got to get to it, D. D cut his teeth on the computer. He's already there. I'm using my King Jimmy Bible. Okay, I got it. Okay, now. Okay, verse. Let's go to verse 2. And let's see, beloved. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God wants our soulless error to prosper. Now, let's see here. Okay, actually the scripture that I'm trying to find is says praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. Maybe it's in Jude. It's Jude? Yeah, it's in Jude. All right, you Bible scholars, try to find me which verse it is in Jude. Yeah, it's in Jude the 20th verse. But you, beloved, it only has one chapter. Okay. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Do you know analogy to this is... how many of us have ever driven a car? You raise your hand if you've driven a car. Probably, I know it's got to be you got to be over 16 if you've driven a car. But do you realize that that car will not go anywhere if the battery's dead? So you know what charges that battery up? So when you turn the key, the ignition, that the car cranks up. You know what his job is to do that, to make sure you got power to go. It's a battery. Well, guess what? There's something behind the battery that keeps it always charged. It's called the alternator. If the alternator doesn't keep that battery charged up, that battery's going to die. So guess what? If we don't pray in our prayer language, we don't pray in the Holy Ghost, we're going to be weak and anemic. Remember remember Samson? Delilah wanted to know his secret, and he didn't tell her, and finally he got tired of her, and he told her, okay, it's my hair. Okay, she cut his hair, and then she woke him up and said, the Philistines are upon you. Well, Samson thought immediately, just like he did always, that he can shake himself and the power of God would come upon him. Guess what? He shook himself and there was no power. When your alternator goes bad, when your alternator in the car goes bad, when your alternator in the car goes bad, and you go out to crank your car, guess what? Guess what you're going to hear? The solenoid trying to crank up, but it can't crank up the car. So when you pray in your prayer language, you edify yourself. You edify yourself. You build yourself up in your most holy faith. So if you don't got no power, you got to go to the power source. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now we're going to go to John the 7th chapter. John the 7th chapter. St. John the 7th chapter. St. John the 7th chapter. St. John the 7th chapter. In the 38th verse. And this is Jesus. Let's go to the 37th chapter. Let's go to verse 37. John 7 and 37. Let's go one ahead of it. And in that day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, guess what? Coca-Cola tried to say that they're the real thing. They ain't the real thing. You drink. I'm going to tell you what, I was cutting grass at my in-law's house yesterday, and I was so thirsty, I went and drank two Cokes, and I was still thirsty. My thirst didn't satisfy until I got me some water. Water is the real thing, H2O, amen, H2O. But guess what? So Coca-Cola is not the real thing, amen. They stole that from the Bible. Jesus is the real thing, amen. But Jesus said, if any man thirsts and come after me and drink, now let's go to verse 38. and he that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise God. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells, it lives in our mortal bodies. And when we pray in our Holy Ghost, we stir up something. We stir up something. A lot of people say, well, he wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, let's keep reading. The Bible's the best commentary for itself, right? Let's go to 39. Let's see what Jesus was really talking about. Because, you know, D the Baptist, he didn't tell me that didn't apply. So we got to go show D, give him some more evidence. Amen. Now, D, he's coming around. He just needs a little bit more information. Amen. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So he's going to be set free in just a minute. D the Baptist, okay? Now I'm not making fun of the Baptists. The Baptists, they're real strong. You cannot talk a Baptist out of his salvation. The Baptists go to club Friday and Saturday night. They be in church Sunday morning, but you can't talk them out of salvation. And the reason you can't, because it's preached. What's preached, it becomes a reality to you. Praise God. Thank God for our Baptist friend. If I want to get somebody saved, I'm going to send them to Baptist D. Amen. D the Baptist. Amen. Because he's going to get that brother saved. Amen. He's going to get that sister saved. Because he know about salvation. Praise God. And we need to learn something from our Baptist brother. Amen. Some of us think we're saved, and then the next day we think we're not saved. No, go to your Baptist brother. He'll get that thing straight for you. All right. Now, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. The day of Pentecost hadn't come. Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus said, boys, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I don't come away, the Holy Spirit won't come. So Jesus came back. He said, I'm not going to leave you comforters. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. So, I have a lot more to say, but I've been about an hour, and I don't want to. Can y'all give me about 10 more minutes? Can I have 10 more minutes, sir? Deacon D, can I have about 10 more minutes, sir? Okay, all right. Praise God. See? Curtis, can I have about 10 more minutes? Praise God. Y'all sound like y'all saved. Okay, well, praise God. Thank you for kindness. Praise God. What happens is, when you receive your prayer language, of insider knowledge of what's going to happen. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? Let's go to, let me find it first and then I'll tell you. Okay, let's. After. It's talked about the wisdom of God, right? Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end there is a destruction. So we got to get knowledge from God. God's perfect will for our life, right? Well, how does it come? And our brethren, And our brethren, when I came to you, came not with an excellency of speech or of wisdom and clearing unto you the testimony of God. So in other words, Paul was a very educated man. He was a Roman. He was a Pharisee. He was a scholar. Amen. But he said, I didn't come with my wisdom, clearing unto you the testimony of God. The next verse. But I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We had a pastor, Bishop Martin. You know what he preached a sermon on? He said, "I don't know nothing." This guy had all kind of degrees. Was a warrant officer in the military. Was a high ranking official in the government when he retired. But he said, I don't know nothing. But Jesus and him crucified. And that'll preach. He preached that sermon. In other words, with all that world knowledge that I think I have, I don't want to know nothing but Jesus. Amen. So the third verse. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Keep going. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of the power. Now guess what? This is the benefit of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you go in the marketplace, you're not some weak Christian wondering if you're going to make it, wondering if Jesus loved you today because you didn't do everything that you should have did or whatever. The blood of Jesus covers all our mistakes. Amen. The Spirit of God inside of us wants to do everything that's right. So you saved. You righteous. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's a free gift. Get that settled. Amen. Get that settled. King Jesus got everything under control. You're under his subjection, right? to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. So you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God doesn't have a plan B. When you show up, you're the plan A. And guess what? Remember when Josh was here on Sunday? And is Jesus supposed to show up in church? Well, guess what? He showed up when Josh's sister was sitting right there where Chris is. And she said that she had her knees were hurting. She had a scoliosis in the back. And Josh prayed for his sister. Now, Josh is not the pastor. He's the music leader, right? He prayed for his sister, and God healed his sister. See, that's the power of God. That's the power of God. So Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Now, when you heal a Muslim or a Buddhist or something like that, and you lay your hands on them and they get healed, there's no argument whether God is real. There's no argument whether God is real or not. So keep going. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Keep going. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world that can't come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world until our glory. So when we speak in our prayer language, we're speaking the mysteries of God. Remember Bible says we speak mysteries unto God? Well, that's why I'm praying in our prayer language. Keep going. Day first. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. So, verse 9. But it is written, eye has not seen, this is where we want to go. We want to camp at it. Nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the thing which God has prepared for them that love him. Now guess what? Natural man can't get this. Natural man can't get this. The world can't get this. This is a mystery unto God, the wisdom of God. Okay, how do we get it? Well, you know what? You know what the natural man say? God's ways are unpredictable. And God can do anything, and we never know what the will of God is. Praise God. God is sovereign. He can do anything. Now, what you're doing, you're giving an excuse for your lack of a faith and a lack of believing in God's word. Now, 10th verse. This is the answer. For God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So guess what? Don't tell me I can't know the will of God for my life. Don't tell me I can't know which way I should go, to the left or to the right. I pray in my prayer language, and guess what? I get my answer from headquarters. I get my from the throne of God. Amen. So this is the key. This is the key right here. This is a benefit for being able to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because you know all things. You don't have to ask for guidance. You got spiritual guidance walking on the inside of you. Amen? In fact, the Holy Ghost is our paraclete. He's our helper. He's our lawyer. He's our doctor. He's our advocate. He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. That's what the Holy Ghost is, amen? So we have all of those things when we get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And He says, if you being evil and your children ask you for a piece of fish, you were not going to give them a serpent. He said, if you being evil and your children ask you for a piece of bread, you're not going to give them a rock. So if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more would the Holy Spirit, would our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So all you got to do, know it's available, throw your hands up to heaven and receive your prayer language. And then you speak, and instantly you'll receive it. The more you use it, the more you become fluent in it. And that's all it is. It's so easy. It's so easy. The Bible said that in Isaiah, said He'll make the way of salvation so simple that even a fool wouldn't err in the way thereof. So now I'm going to ask you, now, everybody has authority. Everybody has authority. Beverly has authority over her children and her grandchildren and everything to their age. But right now, let me ask you, is there anybody that wants to receive their prayer language, that has not received their prayer language, and you want it? It's available. It's available. Anybody that has not received their prayer language? D, have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's what they asked in the book of Acts. Have you received? He said, I don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. So they told him about it. It was available, and they received it. In the book of Acts, you'll see in the book of Acts, that's how they did it. But it's available for every believer. It's available for every believer, and all you have to do is open up your mouth and receive it. Does anybody want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost today? It's available. It's available. It's available. Okay. We're going to go over this next week also. I'm going to go into a little bit more detail. But your Grandma Beverly, she can lead you into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, because she knows it's available. She knows it's available. You know why in most churches, the people are having so much trouble, the pastor have so much trouble with the members? They're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're operating under the flesh. They're operating out of carnal mind. So what happens is, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it'll keep you free from the contaminants of the world. And the devil don't care if you go to church if you're not changed. If you go, you come out the same way you went in. But see, you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and certain things you won't tolerate. See, it reminds you that you're God indwelt. You're God indwelt. And it reminds you that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 and also 6:19, they say, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you pray in your prayer language, you know that you're filled with the power of God. You're not going to do anything to grace your family, disgrace your family. It'll keep you free from the contaminants of the world. It'll keep you free. So the reason a lot of churches, the pastor has so many problems with his members is because they're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, flesh fighting against flesh is nothing but a mess. Amen. Nothing but a mess. But if you want power, baptize your members. Tell them, get them filled with the Holy Ghost. They'll hear from heaven. They'll hear from headquarters. And if they got a problem, they go directly to their Father and get the answer. You don't have to have all those counseling sessions. Where to pass it out with 20 counseling sessions a day? Praise God. No. Send them to the Holy Ghost. Send them to God. Send them to the Father. So that's why if the churches get filled with the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1953, and now I don't need no more Holy Ghost. No. Pray every day in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up in the most holy faith. That's what Jude said, Jude 20, right? 2 and 20. So that's the key. If the church would get filled with the Holy Ghost, the pastor wouldn't have to fight. They wouldn't have to fight. Members wouldn't be coming in up one day and down the next. High 1 minute, down there. Most churches, they don't teach for information. They don't preach for information. They teach for entertainment. They get the people all hyped and get them all. And then guess what? They get them all hyped up. And then once they get hyped up, guess what they do? they leave church. And they say, oh, man, the pastor preached. Hallelujah. What did he preach about? I don't know, child, but it was good. They left worse than they came because they didn't get it what they needed from the Lord. But if you teach your folks to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't need to baby them. They'll grow up spiritually. They'll grow up spiritually mature. You'll be able to feed them meat. You'll be able to feed them meat, not milk. Praise God. And they'll know, and you won't have a problem. You won't have a problem. Praise God. You know, I thank God for Josh. Now, he's almost strong as I am. But even as strong as he is, if he didn't have the Holy Ghost, well, I don't need him to be my bodyguard. But I know he's filled with the power of God. Oh, well, he's good now. And he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he got almost as many muscles as I got. Okay, I can work with him. I can work with him. But we need that power from on high. Praise God. So I'm not finished, but I'm through. I got a lot of sense. I know did I tell you the joke about the preacher? About the trying to preach to the congregation. There was only one farmer there.